It's seen as the final frontier of global cooperation after the Cold War. But Russia has decided to pull out of the International Space Station. Is it even possible? And what will be the impact on future space exploration and research? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Bernard Smith. The International Space Station has been a symbol of cooperation between Cold War and space rivals for more than 20 years. American astronauts and Russian cosmonauts collaborated despite the challenges of their nation's relationship here on Earth. But even the ISS could not escape the tensions created by the war in Ukraine. Russia says it will withdraw from the programme after 2024 and launch its own similar space station. NASA called the announcement a surprise, but it's unclear how Moscow can untangle itself from the project. It also involves astronauts from Canada, Europe and Japan working closely together. We'll bring in our guests in a moment. First, this report by Fintan Monaghan.
The future of this beacon of international cooperation may be in doubt. When the war in Ukraine prompted the West to sever nearly all ties with Russia, the International Space Station was one of the few exceptions.
3, 2, 1.
Now, after more than 20 years of partnership, Russia says it's pulling out.
Of course, we will fulfill all our obligations to our partners, but the decision to leave after 2024 has been taken. I think that by that time, we will begin to form a Russian orbital station.
And liftoff.
To many, this move was a surprise. NASA and the Russian Space Agency had only just signed a new agreement to ferry astronauts to the station. In May, the head of the European Space Agency said cutting ties with Russia on the ISS was technically impossible. Both sides are responsible for different technologies on the station, and neither is trained to operate the others without assistance.
It's going to cause problems. The Russian sort of side of things is in charge of several key systems on board the International Space Station. Probably one of the most key ones is its propulsion system. So that's the thing that stops it from, because it's just about in Earth's atmosphere. And over time, its orbit does slowly degrade as it gets closer. And occasionally it needs to get its orbit boosted up again. And the Russian segment is responsible for doing that.
First through the hatch is Denise Matvieva.
Since the war in Ukraine broke out, even life in space hasn't gone untouched by the politics of Earth. In April, questions were asked about the Russian crew's choice of spacesuit, which matched the colors of the Ukrainian flag. They denied any hidden messages, but many saw it as a protest against Russia's war. In July, the Russian crew made a much clearer political statement. They posed for photos with the flags of Luhansk and Donetsk, two Russian-backed breakaway regions in eastern Ukraine.
It's unfortunate that the politics on the ground have now reached up into space. Before, the ISS was the one common ground that we had where, it was in everyone's interest that it work, and neither side used the ISS for these kinds of political posturings for events on the ground.
The ISS was first established back in 1998. Research on the station has led to breakthroughs in battling cancer, Alzheimer's, and heart disease. Monitoring natural disasters from space has also helped relief efforts here on Earth. But with Russia and China now planning to complete their own space stations in the coming years, a period of space cooperation may be giving way to a new era of space competition. Fintan Monaghan, Al Jazeera.
Now, this news has caught many by surprise because NASA and Russia's space agency had just struck a deal 2 weeks ago to fly each other's astronauts to the ISS. Cooperation between Russia and the US had appeared relatively unharmed by the Ukraine war until now. The European Space Agency had already ended its collaboration with Russia's space agency. And Moscow has stopped launches of its Soyuz spacecraft from a European launch site in French Guiana. Let's bring in our guests. In Moscow, we have Pavel Felgenhauer, a defence and military analyst. In Orlando, Florida, Amy Thompson, a science journalist and contributor to space.com. And in London, Francisco Diego, a lecturer at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at University College London. Welcome to you all. Pavel, first of all, for you, is this Ukraine-related? Is it political, Russia pulling out of the ISS?
Well, it's clearly Ukraine-connected, because after the conflict there began, sanctions were imposed on Russia by the West, and some of them, these sanctions are against parts of the Roscosmos state space corporation. Russia has already said that it will continue with the cooperation on the space station if the sanctions will be lifted. They have not been lifted. So that means Russia is right now kind of saying that, okay, we're going to boot the whole project, since it right now is not bringing Russia much any money anymore. But this does not actually mean that this is the end of the issue. I should emphasize that. I think there's of course some time left to, I don't know, 25, and there's time for some bargaining. So if Russia would most likely say there are actually different ways in Russia could quit fully, so the station has to go down into the ocean, Pacific Ocean, or kind of continue on a commercial basis to cooperate to some extent to keep it running till 30, or Russia would be demanding some sanctions relief.
Okay. Amy,
so it's not yet a closed issue.
All right. So, Amy, as Pavel says there, it's not over yet. Is, from the American side, is this viewed as bluster? Is there hope that it's bluster?
Yes. So Russia said that they were going to pull out after 2024. There was a report that came out talking to one of their lead flight directors that was discussing their version of the space station that would, the first pieces would launch maybe around 2028. So from NASA's standpoint, NASA has said that they would like to operate the space station until 2030. But it is also at the same time preparing some commercial partners to launch sort of mini space stations. I think Axiom has one. Blue Origin has an orbital reef that they're partnering with several other agencies that they want to launch. So this notion of having multiple stations is probably something that's going to be happening around the same time that Russia wants to do their own. So I definitely think that there is room for negotiation.
All right. We'll touch on the commercial operators in space a little bit later. Francisco, though, what would it mean to the ISS, to the operation, the practical operation of it, if Russia did withdraw?
It's going to be, I think, very difficult. You cannot divide the International Space Station that easy. The Russian module is, as we saw in your introduction, is responsible for the movement of the space station, for keeping it in orbit, and it has the power to do that, and that is controlled from Moscow, I understand. So how these things are going to be sorted out is very difficult to imagine, and I hope, as Pavel said, I hope that these negotiations are going to take some kind of more constructive approach.
Amy, help us understand practically how the two segments of the station are interdependent on each other and rely on the Russians and the Americans operating them.
Yes. Yeah, so as stated, the Russian side provides propulsion, so it essentially keeps the ISS in orbit. Currently, there is not a U.S. vehicle that is capable of doing that, but I'm sure that that is something that NASA and its partners are, you know, thinking about, especially after the announcement yesterday. And then the U.S. side provides power. It's got the solar panels. So they work together. You can't have one side without the other side.
But Pavel, who's holding all the cards? If you say there might be a potential for negotiation, who needs this more, the Americans or the Russians?
Well, most likely both need the station, though the Russian interest has waned a bit. Of course, during the for quite a long time since the shuttles stopped to fly, Russia had a monopoly to bring astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the space station, and so Russia was earning a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I mean, one trip for one person was up to $70 million. So that was bringing a lot of cash to Roscosmos. That has right now ended. There'll be flights on Russian Soyuz ships for Americans, but that will not be for money much. That will be exchange for Russians flying on American ships. So it stopped to be a money cow, the space station for Roscosmos. And so now they say, oh, they're not that much interested in continuing to maintain this aging station. So they hope that they maybe believe the Americans need it more, and so Russia can wager for that and get something in return for still keeping it flying for 5 years up to 30.
Okay. Francisco, there's an operational importance to having integrated crews on board, I read, I understand. What are the risks? They've got this crew swap agreement where American crews can fly in on a Russian rocket, Russians can fly in on SpaceX. What is the importance of having these integrated crews on the ISS?
Well, it is very important. That is a very basic principle of the International Space Station. And it is very sad that this is happening. I would like to see more cooperation. I would like to see a space exploration, less competition, more collaboration. This is not the way to go into space. This is not the way we have explored our own planet. And look at the state of the planet now as a result of what we have done in the last few centuries. Are you going to do the same in space? I think we have this opportunity, this challenge now, to really reset our mindset and reset it and then put more collaboration and more peaceful collaboration and explore the moon as humanity, not as a single country or as a single company. I hope we can achieve that.
Well, Amy, as Francisco is hinting at that, there's symbolic importance of having integrated crews as well as practical. What are those practical importances of having them or integrated crews on board?
Well, it's good to have those, you know, because you have each program has something different that they work on, you know, as far as science and other things like that. So they bring that into them by having crews, you know, and it's just really, like he said, symbolic. This is what we want to see. We want to see cooperation because the space station is literally like the crown jewel of humanity. Like, this is what happens when everyone works together and we are all capable of achieving great things. So we need this cooperation.
Pavel, you've been suggesting that a lot of this has come down to dollars in the end, to cash. Could the Russians build their own space station, as has been hinted at? Would they want to? Could they afford to do it?
Well, some kind of station most likely will appear. It will take time. Again, the station that's being right now planned will be very different from the present space station. It will be flying higher on a different orbit, much higher. That means it won't have a permanent crew. The crews will be visiting. So it will be much smaller for sure with visiting crews. It's not will be like the present low orbit space station, which is very enormous, 500 tons of metal and equipment flying there. Such a thing will most likely never again appear anytime soon in orbit around Earth.
Amy, are there alternative partners for NASA for the Americans, the Europeans maybe, or is it the Russians or no one?
No, so... There's 15 different international partners. I mean, Russia is one of them. So when they pull out, there's still 14 other countries, including the U.S., that are, you know, that work together to make the International Space Station. So NASA would probably lean on those partners a little bit more if Russia pulled out.
Okay. And Francisco, the station is due to be retired in 2031. What happens to it then?
Well, it will be controlled descent. It will be the orbit, and then it will land somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, as will be the Hubble Space Telescope at some point as well. So it will be the orbit. That's what happens when you are in low Earth orbit. You are just reduce the speed, and then in a very controlled way, just bring it down. And we must remember also that China is completing their own space station this year, and that's another component here. Another country that was not allowed to join in the International Space Station. They went their own way, and they are building their own, in record time actually, their own space station as well. So I hope, as I said before, that all this collaboration comes more close together because space exploration is very forgiving. It's extremely dangerous. You need international collaboration to deal with emergencies, to deal with many enormous challenges. And it will be good to have the expertise from different scientific and technological groups working together.
I wanted to move on to China, actually. And Pavel, again, could Russia realistically move on to cooperate more with China's space program? Very ambitious. China's supposed to be ahead of Russia now, technologically, in space.
Well, most likely not ahead technologically, but actually clearly ahead in finances. So they are building it swiftly. They have more money to spend. Technologically, most likely, Russia and China are more or less on par. Maybe in rocket technology, Russia is at least, if not ahead, well, it's maybe has some kind of headway there. Cooperation in space between Russia and China, there has been a lot talked about it in recent years. It's not really that easy to happen. The Chinese have their own space station. It won't be really compatible with the Russian one. But there can be kind of visits of Chinese going onto the Russian station, of Russians going onto the Chinese station. I think that's possible. That would be symbolic. But I don't think that the two countries are going to actually merge or build a joint project like the International Space Station, which appeared in the years after the end of the Cold War, when it seemed that conflict and war in Europe would be totally impossible. Well, now we're in a different, very different age, and cooperation in space is going to be limited between countries that are actually see each other as enemies.
Okay. Well, Amy Francisco has mentioned repeatedly the importance of cooperation in space because it's a very dangerous place in which to operate. But would the Americans view the Chinese surely more as competitors in space rather than potential cooperation partners, do they?
Yes. So they have historically been kept separate from everything, whereas NASA worked very closely with Russia. China has always been on the outside. And I think there may have been one analog astronaut mission that had a Taikonaut, but other than that, they just do not work together. So that would be interesting to see what happens in terms of that, because I believe they launched their second module to the space station, and yes. Yeah, they're moving very rapidly with that.
Francisco, do you know how China's space program compares to that of Russia? They've launched another rocket recently to the Tiangong to build a Tiangong space station.
Well, yes, the Chinese space program came a little bit late. We must remember that the first successful missions to space were from the Soviet Union, and then the first satellite, the first spacewalk, the first woman in space, etc., etc. So it comes from the 1950s, the 1960s, and the Chinese came only recently, very successfully, actually, launching very successful missions to the moon, to Mars, when they have a successful landing on Mars with a rover, and the backside of the moon as well. They have another rover there. So now building their own space station, but they came a bit late. They're a bit behind in time, but I think they are making very, very good progress, I think. And I think we should aim in the future to see more collaboration. That's I have to repeat myself again and again.
No, but Francisco, you say yes, China's late to the space race, but is it catching up technologically with the US? Is that a concern for the US? I know you keep mentioning cooperation, but there isn't much cooperation between these two superpowers.
Well, not at the moment, of course. And of course, technologically, China has less experience, if you like. But if you see the interior of the new space station of China, it's quite remarkable. It's very tidy and very well organized. And you see there a kind of technology which is very well thought and very well designed. So I think technologically, I don't know. I'm not qualified to really put a mark in which technological it has more advanced, but. Certainly, the experience comes in the size of Russia and certainly NASA.
Amy, is space exploration an enterprise that still needs state backing? We mentioned earlier Axiom, we have SpaceX, we have Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin, we have Branson's Virgin Galactic, we have a Jared Isaacman and three others being launched into orbit to visit the space station. Will this be taken over by private billionaires, or do we still need state contributions?
We will still need state contributions. SpaceX gets money from NASA for the seats for the astronauts and for other programs. So as NASA is looking to go back to the moon, it is partnering with a lot of these companies, and there is, you know, money involved for them. But NASA's plan is to, you know, push out further into the solar system. So they are wanting to help these companies, you know, set up in low Earth orbit so that there can be a lot of activity going on there. And then NASA can divert a lot of its resources to more deep space, but it will still be a partner, a customer for these companies.
And Pavel, does Roscosmos see this as still see prestige in space exploration, or is it money that matters more to the Russians now? Could they profit from this sort of desire for private exploration of space?
Well, actually, the private companies like SpaceX, they were competing with Russia. And in space launches and commercial space launches, not only in the ISS. And that's seen as actually the price of putting payloads into orbit has decreased, and Russia has seen itself being pushed out of the commercial market, and Roscosmos losing their money cows that they were getting because the Russian budget is, of course, much smaller than the Chinese or the Americans. And they were Roscosmos was very much, after the end of the Cold War, surviving on kind of earning money. And now they have lost a lot of that capability. And so they're right now talking that right now their main priority is supporting the Russian forces on the ground in Ukraine, sending more military satellites into orbit, increasing the number of military satellites, communications, recon. So they're kind of right now more militarizing because their commercial part is not really compatible with the new commercial American and other entities that are there on the market.
And Francisco, how do you view the growing involvement of private individuals in space exploration? Is it to be welcomed or something that should be done much more in cooperation with state institutions?
Well, exactly. It's a bit of a mixed idea here. Of course, it is welcome. It's welcome to have more experience, but at the same time, it has to be regulated. You cannot have this anarchy. You cannot have these people, I want to do it first because I have the money to do it. It is not possible. We have a very good example, which is the Antarctic Treaty. The Antarctic Treaty has a variety of countries that are collaborating in under very strict regulations. And that we have also the Outer Space Treaty from the United Nations, that it is there. It hasn't been implemented properly, hasn't been enforced properly. But all these partners, all these contributors, we remember, we have other countries as well. We have India as well coming, the UAE, all these countries that have sent even spacecraft to Mars. They have to be properly regulated. Otherwise, it's going to be anarchy. And I come again to the international collaboration properly regulated.
Okay. We've run out of time, but Pavel Felgenhauer, Amy Thompson and Francisco Diego, thank you very much for your contributions. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for more debate, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. We are at AJInsideStory. From me, Bernard Smith, and the entire team here in Doha, bye for now.